B-Pod Studios.
Hey, it's the Over Under 95 podcast. It's Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, the Bankroll Boys, as we're
finally back. Finally back.
We look like we're on vacation.
Yes.
I got the tan going, showing a little chest hair. Dan's got the beater on, showing the guns.
The non-existent guns, yes. The non-existent ones, yeah.
But we are live right now. It's our live podcast. We were promoting it over the weekend. We wanted to at least get together and do a live show, do some Q&A. We're on at 7 in the morning in Boston. I know sometimes it's not the most ideal time to call into the show. And with sports returning essentially tomorrow with Major League Baseball, we wanted to at least come up with some season odds. The WNBA also starts up on Saturday this week, and the NBA preseason is underway as well. So we just kind of wanted to get together and do a podcast for all you betters out there. And sounds like now with COVID, things may be getting into a bubble in a more controlled situation. Gambling is probably a little bit more of a controlled situation as well. So we'll get into that. But a couple of things right off the bat, Dan. And what we're going to do is just do a couple topics off the bat and get in some Q&A. So if you're on Twitter, send in your questions to us. We're also on YouTube. So if you want to send in any questions, feel free to send them in. Just use that comment section and we'll get those going. But I just saw this one come over a little while ago. The news of the day, obviously, is Mookie Betts got a huge contract extension with the Dodgers. Right now, the Dodgers favored to win the World Series, and they've been probably rightfully so, them and the Yankees, both the favorites here. But I just saw that Major League Baseball still has until tomorrow's first pitch to agree on expanded playoffs. And when it comes to the betting lines, we've been looking at it as, okay, like who's going to be the two wild card teams? Who's going to win the division? Well, if they go from 10 to 16, that's going to change a lot of things here. There's going to be more to bet on. Maybe teams won't, you know, the 60 games may not be taken as seriously. Maybe a team like the Boston Red Sox could sneak in because they got a good lineup, but terrible pitching. Like, first and foremost, I hate the idea of expanded playoffs, at least for a 60-game season. Your thoughts, Dan?
I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, off the bat initially, I don't like it. I think that adding more playoff teams to a sport where you kind of want to lower the playoff teams to get the quality, the best of the best, it kind of waters it down a little bit. I also understand why they need more playoff teams this year. They need the money. And if it's a one-year thing, Joe, I'm more than okay with it. If we're going to bring it into 2021 and beyond, I'm not okay with it, and I really hate it. So my theory is, listen, this year – I'm okay with changing things around because of the fact that these leagues need money, these teams need games, the players need to play, et cetera, et cetera. They can make some more money in the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. Next year, I don't want that to be the case. So if it's a one-year thing, I'm for it. I understand that the betting odds obviously will change because of it. You're going to see to make the playoff odds totally become very different, and I'm sure that you'll see a ton of bets canceled. However, if it's for multiple years, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I'm with you there. So I think that we need to, you know, it needs to be a one-year type of thing only.
Oh, and like, you know, this just got dropped on us. Like, you know, obviously the Players Association and the owners had a beef to begin with. And like now they're still talking about having fans in the stands or at least some cities. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like maybe they will do expanded playoffs because it might help the ownership. Maybe the TV rights help out. The fact is, Dan, these guys aren't getting paid, so are they even going to care? And let's not even mention what the hell's going on in the country if they even finish the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a lot of ifs, a lot of buts. We'll see what happens. I'm going to go with the, you know, I'm just going with what I know and what I can control right now. What I can control, what I know is that what I think is, you know, I don't know if we'll finish the season, but going off the concept that we will, I'm okay with the playoffs happening and being expanded this year. I am. It sucks, and I do think that these guys are going to take it seriously because it's a 60-game schedule. It's no longer 182. No matter what, even some of the guys who aren't getting paid, if they have a contract coming up in a year or so, I think that this is a huge year for all these guys. So, you know, teams will look back at this year and say, did this guy give a shit when it really mattered? No, well, that's a problem.
Just real quick, the Mookie Betts trade. I mean, obviously it happened with the Red Sox. You know, I'm going to just flat out say this. I was working with a prominent baseball writer who told me that Mookie Betts was stupid for not signing the deal. Stupid. Come to find out, the guy made $385 million later. Is that stupid, Dan? Is that stupid? Because I'll tell you this much. Mookie Betts never, ever indicated, ever, he wanted to stay in Boston. Never. And I'm not saying he never wanted to stay in Boston. He just never indicated that he wanted to stay here. The trade happens, and he gets paid. Everyone thought during a pandemic he would never see that type of money, and they were wrong. So to call Mookie Betts stupid, that is like a commandment, right? Don't call somebody something for something that hasn't happened yet.
When we discussed this probably a couple months ago, maybe it was mid-March or something, I tended to agree with that baseball writer, and I said, I think Mookie Betts is in serious trouble here if these teams are going to lose a lot of money. The fact is that the Dodgers and the owners, Mookie Betts, did the right thing. He got paid. He's on a team he wants to be. And I think those guys, including myself, who thought Betts was going to look bad, need to take an L and need to own it and say, hey, Betts was right. He bet on himself and he paid out, you know, and paid out. So hats off to Mookie Betts because we were wrong.
And the other thing about it is, I don't want to take a victory lap. Okay, sorry, Tony Mass. I don't want to take a
victory. I love Mass, so that's kind of my
point. I don't want to take a victory lap. At the time, right? A pandemic's happening in the world. I'll probably never see that money in a 60-game season, whatever. I'm shocked he got a $385 million contract. It's $350 plus a $27 million this year. That is like, I'm shocked. At the same time, I'm pissed as a Red Sox fan. Pissed. This is one of the reasons why I hate baseball in general. What just happened, Dan, in the NFL with Patrick Mahomes? Right? One of the youngest star players in football on the rise, and they sign him to a ridiculous, stupid, long-term deal. Some people think it's stupid. I don't. But he ain't going anywhere. That guy's staying there at least for 5 years, right? So, I mean, like, yeah. They locked that guy up. The Red Sox, on the other hand, signed David Price and Chris Sale and all these other bums where the fact that they don't want to go long-term with one of the second best player in all of baseball, arguably. And no, let's not even mention John Lester from years ago and how he did. This is why people in the city of Boston are bored of baseball and don't like baseball. You got the best guy, arguably outside of Mike Trout, in your team, in your system. And you don't even want to attempt to sign him. He says 420 and you say out. He gets 380 somewhere else. I'm venting. I'm venting. Because they got a bag of balls and a Verdugo.
I think they got more than you obviously do. I think Jeter Dance is a really good prospect. I think Verdugo will be pretty good. Nonetheless, was it a bad trade? Did they lose the trade? Ultimately, yes. Especially now, you know, if you could argue that, you know, the Dodgers got 60 game of Betts in the playoffs and whatever, and then Betts walked, you could argue the Red Sox won the trade. At this point, it looks like they lost, which is, you know, it is what it is. You had to get what you could get. And, you know, I think they made essentially what the Goldschmidt deal was without the arms. They got hitters instead of arms. So, look, I think that, you know, if you're a Boston sports fan, which obviously we're Boston guys, so this is a, you know, a major topic here. I think it's something to pay attention to. What I also think is that this takes so much stress off Betts this year that I'm not sure how to approach it from a gambling angle, Joe, but I will tell you that I don't know if I would be so inclined to bet bets overs now on all the stuff, because I know everyone's like, oh, Mookie Betts contract here, take his overs, take his overs, take his overs. I'm not sure I would actually do that anymore. I actually don't know if I would do that. Now that Betts has signed his contract, he can relax a little bit. It's a
good point.
A little bit of pressure off.
Good point. This guy could essentially mail in the season. He could opt out while he probably could. If he really wanted to.
He's not going to. He's making, what, $37 million or whatever it is this year. So,
and you mentioned the betting side of it. The Dodgers are pretty good. The Dodgers are pretty damn good. And they just now, the two best players in baseball, Dan, are playing in L.A. right now. If you ask me. The two best players in baseball are there. One had him here. And, we'll move on to that one, but I would lay off the probably would, and maybe this is where we should start, and I want to get into another football point. And of course, people are starting to chat into the show. That's what we're trying to do. Line it up, boys. 600 pounds of meat. Love you guys. Our buddy Nick, great point, Dan, on those bookie bets. Hey, Bankroll Boys, I can't wait to hear some full blown degenerate ish. It's coming, baby. And who's the other guy? Mike Trout. Who else? Who else would you say is the best player in baseball?
I think you can make an argument for Soto. I don't think he is, but I think you can make an argument that he can be close, and Acuna. I think that those guys are going to maybe take that leap this year. So I think you could make an argument. I don't think that, I think the Trout's still the number one player in the league, but I think it's possible, in the next year or two, maybe he gets overtaken. I think Betts is definitely still top two, top three.
All right, one last thing, people. Nolan Arenado, Acuna.
I love Arenado. I love Arenado's next guy as much as the next guy, but his home road splits are bad. They're bad. And so, he's not saying he's not an elite player. I'm just saying he's not as good away from course. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And send in your questions.
That's kind of what I was
saying. All right, send in your questions. Nolan Arenado, Acuna. Twin River needs to open up their sports book. Love gambling there. Keep them coming in, boys. I want to bookmark something when it comes to player props this year, because we've discussed it on our over-under show on Saturdays. But one other just quick random topic before we start getting into the nitty-gritty here. The NFL this year, we actually got our buddy Matt Dolloff from 98.5 The Sports. Sent us an email today. I was up at 4:30 this morning, so I napped. It was a damn good email, so I feel bad that I didn't get back to him. But he goes, hey, dude, I'm trying to write something for tonight in regards to no preseason and how will it affect gambling odds. And I figured we're on the night, so why don't we just talk about it, right? It's a good, damn good question. I actually didn't even think about it. I thought that, all right, ho-hum, teams are working hard and staying in condition and whatever. This actually probably does have a high effect. I mean, let's just look at the AFC South, for example, right? Phillip Rivers is going to be in a new system, but they're highly favored this year. The Texans, whatever, with the big trade they made, moving on, getting David Johnson and moving on from their best receiver, like, that's going to be an issue for them. The Jags are going to be the Jags, and the Titans, can they bounce back to where they are? All I'm trying to say is, looking at that division in particular, there's still a lot of question marks, and they're not going to have a preseason to work any of those kinks out at all. Where if you look at the AFC East, not to just throw everything on Belichick and figure it out, but I don't know, the fact that the team's been intact, they didn't really make a lot of moves. Their rookies generally don't make an impact right away. Miami's got new quarterback. They got a second-year coach. The Jets with Darnold. Buffalo is supposed to be improving. The thing is that these teams aren't going to be able to adjust or learn about each other in the preseason. So does that affect the lines? And I think it does favor a team like the Patriots, because they know how to work on short weeks and in short situations with experienced coaches. And I don't know. It's the first time this year where I at least thought, no preseason. Maybe things could look a little different than maybe what we've projected early on.
Yeah, I think that, of course, preseason football is going to hurt everything. I think it's going to hurt, the guys who want Cam Newton to start for the Patriots. I think it's going to hurt the Indianapolis Colts who have Phillip Rivers. I think it's going to hurt Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think it's going to hurt all these teams early on who, especially offensively, are going to have, I guess, in my opinion, some issues early on. Listen, we have a long time for football. We have a couple months. Camp hasn't even started yet. There's no preseason. There's a ton of time to discuss football. And so, I think that one thing that I really want to point out is, no matter what you feel about right now, things are going to change. I think you're going to see less rookies on teams this year. You're going to see players who don't know the playbook, regardless of whether they're talented or not, get cut. I think this is going to be a totally different season than, any of the other seasons in the past, 10, 20 years. So I don't really think we know exactly what's going to happen yet. And so I'm just, I want to see, before we really, really dig in the football, what it's going to look like, what's going to happen here. Obviously, we've gone through, all the divisions and everything. Obviously, it leans towards unders early on with football, but there's a lot of time to go. There's a lot of time to go. So I think it's too early to dig in the football outside of win totals. I think win totals are projecting a whole year of a team, and I think that that is reasonable and something you can do. But early on, I think it's going to be very tough to determine what's going to happen.
Absolutely. All right. We just wanted to throw those topics up. We got a ton of Q&A off the bat, which I think will help into some of our topics that we wanted to get into, Dan. So just a couple of these. Real quick, I wanted to mention this is the first time we're broadcasting live on YouTube. Normally, we do it on the Facebook pages and Twitter. Twitter, obviously, we got about 60, 70 people watching right now, which is cool. And there's about a dozen people or so watching on YouTube, Dan. So you can chat in on YouTube. There's a little chat feature. So it will tell me if you're on YouTube. So if you're watching on there, definitely send us something in to let us know that it's working. So this is, we're trying this. It was fun last year, Dan, to do our podcast and then post it because we wanted people to go to the podcast to listen to our picks and stuff like that. It's also good to do an interaction because there's stuff we miss. And so that's why we wanted to do this tonight. So I'll just throw out a couple of things real quick. Fernando Tatis Jr., next face of baseball? Maybe.
I don't know if he has enough power.
Well, I think Vlad Guerrero Jr., had that, at least had a moment in the home run derby last year, which kind of put him on the map a little bit. I don't know if he'll be a star, but he's at least an interesting player.
Tatis will be elite. I just don't know if he's going to be the face of baseball, especially in San Diego.
Yeah. San Diego has one sports team, right? I mean, really? I'm trying to think about it right now. If you wanted to, get away from sports, go there.
Yeah, they had the Chargers, but...
You want to get away from sports, go to San Diego.
It's a nice place, man. It is.
I've heard that it's very nice. Yeah. I'm on Giants... Giants under 24.5 wins and the Reds over 31.5. Now, I will say this. I don't have a take on the Reds, but I know that people love the Reds this year, which off the bat, Dan, means fade.
So there were a few tweets today talking about the Reds win totals and the White Sox win totals. And I guess there's a few books in Vegas. They have not taken a single under bet on the White Sox win total or a single under bet on the Reds win total. Ridiculous.
Holy,
not a single one.
So I'm gonna tell you right now, we do PPs. I should get a little make a little banner for it. PP under 31.5 Reds wins this year.
There you go.
You know what, Dan? Let's start writing these down.
Right. Okay. I mean, yeah. Well, I can get them all. We'll listen back to the podcast and I'll write it down as we usually do. But yeah, I agree. Reds under 31.5. I think they have a chance to be a really good team still, but I think that, if you're doing a pure fade, I totally understand. I would actually fade the White Sox. I think they play the White Sox. Or have all these high expectations in a division where there's two teams, in my opinion, that are better than them, the Twins and the Indians. And everyone's super down in Cleveland this year. I don't really know why. Maybe it's because of the loss of Corey Kluber, I guess. I'm not really sure. But to me, the Indians, and especially Francisco Lindor, who's going to get paid soon, are a team to really look out for. We'll get into – we'll start covering, team by team in a little bit here. But I'm pretty high on the Indians this year.
Okay, here's another one I thought was interesting. This isn't something I would bet on, but maybe it's like a, you know, something that people do, homers, especially when it comes to the Yankees. Who will be the first Yankee to hit a home run? And obviously, opening day is tomorrow for the Yankees. So, and one interesting thing I thought, Dan, that I've noticed with the Red Sox, you know, Aaron Judge bats second for the Yankees. The Red Sox have J.D. Martinez batting second now.
Yep.
So I don't know. Maybe Aaron Judge could be a good candidate, considering he's going to get more at-bats batting in the two-hole this year, and maybe that's going to help free agency for J.D. Martinez getting more at-bats, too.
I think you'll end up seeing, I think you're going to end up seeing a guy like Luke Voit, something like that, hit a home run. Listen, it's a wild card bet. You're talking about, you know, some big odds there. If you want to play it for 10, 20 bucks, but what I would normally tell you is this is not something you want to bet on. No, normally, if you want to do it for fun, feel free to be my guest. But if you're trying to start building the bankroll again, because it's been however many months about, you know, sports, stay away from these bets, because this is only going to burn you. This is not going to help you. Yes, I know a way to address no press. I'm not trying to impress anyone. So, sorry, but this is kind of my point. Is I would tend to stay away from these bets. These are the bets where you're just burning your money, burning your bankroll, especially early on, guys. It's been a couple months, and for most people, they're hurting at this point. You want to start rebuilding. That is, you don't want to start with these. This is not the way to start. So, just kind of want to give you guys a heads up for fun. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would just while I'm looking at it, man. You know, I've been dabbling. When I say a unit, maybe it's $100, okay? I've been dabbling on that with UFC and with soccer. But it's piled up, Dan. You know, not to give the old pat on the back. When you go 5-0 and you're up 7 units, I'm gonna use that 7 units on baseball now or roll it over. You know what I mean? So like, you got to start somewhere. I know that dude, we were going into college basketball when everything shut down, and I already had my bankroll ready to go for college basketball. So, you know, I have a bankroll going into baseball season. Just while we're on it, be careful, man. You know, these high 280 spreads, minus 280s. You know, Dan, I know you've mentioned a couple of times that they might be pulling pitchers early on. You know, with 60 games, they might only get 10 to 12 starts. But, you know, if something happens, or even COVID for that matter, they can pull someone early. So be careful. Your bets could also get pulled right before, you know, an hour before pitch as well. But these big spreads, man, you got to be careful, especially if it's like an over and like the over is like at 200. Maybe you might want to stay away from that kind of juice.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be one of those things early on. I'm telling you, everyone has to be careful and be slow and methodical early on. Where it's gonna be a totally different process than normal. Everyone's gonna have to learn how to kind of readjust everything. Numbers gonna have to be readjusted. Power numbers gonna have to be readjusted. Everything that you know, guys who really really bet and you know really use their numbers and rely on models and stuff. Everything's gonna have to totally change. And we're gonna have to. You know, as you guys have heard a million fucking times at this point, we're in unprecedented times, right? So that also goes for sports gambling. It's going to be unprecedented in the way your numbers and everything you'd be run are different than normal. So we're going to have to adjust.
The real Kirky, UFC talk, Whitaker Till. Holy crap, it's going to be a big one this weekend. Dude, Till is nasty. Whitaker's the slight favorite. We'll save that one for Saturday night. And while we're on that, our buddy Gabe has checked in. Gabe has been our Gabe from West Roxbury. He's been doing very well. I'm sure he'll have something on Whitaker until Arizona under 31 for the win total this year. And he goes, Joe, you said you take over 19.5 total home runs. Who do you think wins? Another one. Pepe over 19.5. Dan, I believe it's at 20.5 now. And I will take
I found a PPH today that still has 19.5. So there's still 19.5s out there.
Give me 19.5. I'm going to write this down. I got two of them right now. 19.5 over an individual having over 19.5 home runs this year. And I've been riding that one for I don't know how long, Dan. But that's one I'm definitely locking up. Now, who will be the home run leader? That's an interesting question.
So I think, I think that we should save that for our MLB section for sure. But I think that's an interesting one to discuss. We can probably throw out a few names that you think might be in that race.
Yeah, it was Joey Votto on that list. And I know, I'm going to look up MLB home run leaders. I'll get that for you guys in a little bit. On who the odds are, coming up in a minute here. Just a ton more questions and we'll knock these out, Dan. Teams are going to look rusty in September. We'll find out. I don't know about rusty in September. Maybe rusty. Yeah, you might be right about that. Dan, thoughts on Chase Elliott tomorrow?
Come on. Fuck. that's how I feel about Chase. Although, I think the last race that Elliott won, he did not screw me finally. So, the Chase Elliott gods have turned a little bit.
How do you feel about overs early in Major League Baseball? I've watched one exhibition game and it went over.
I think every single person I know thinks that there are going to be overs early in baseball, which makes me think that it's going to be probably less overs than you think. Yeah. Especially in the exhibition lines. I'm looking at the lines right now. They're not that heavily over.
Lower scoring games already. So we got one guy who thinks this.
I think Billy's discussing the NFL there, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Great setup. Thanks, man. Do you guys think it'll be Cam or Stidham week one?
We can get into that later too.
Yeah, go back to our archives, we had a good little discussion on that. We're looking beefy. I know. Easy to stream on YouTube to the TV, but easier to comment on Twitter. All right. Well, we don't know. We're trying.
But we're working through things. So,
who's the more successful gambler, Joe or Dan? I mean, I don't know. It depends on what week it is or what sport it is or on what day it is. But I think equally we are over 60%, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'd say in different sports we're better. I mean, if you're talking NFL, I think Joe is better than me in the NFL, and I think
– Well, I don't know. I don't like the soccer stuff. I'll be honest with you. Like, you're looking into that. I can't – and, dude, like, you're watching Arsenal and Liverpool and all that stuff, and it's just –
I know. I just
I'm not into it. It's a personal thing. But you're coming around on the UFC. I've watched UFC for years. But
I know, Jack.
but what I'm saying though is like you've enjoyed it. It's a sport that you're like, oh man, this has been good. Like you actually like it and see the value, even though it's really hard because we don't know what the judges are gonna do. Like it's becoming that type of sport where it's like sometimes after a fight, you're like, damn, I don't know which way it's gone, but it's been better lately. But there were a couple of cards when there was no other sports going on where I didn't know which way the judges were going, man. It was very difficult. How will no crowds affect spreads if there are any this year? I guess he's being NFL specific.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have a baseball draft after this, so I'm trying to sign. I'm trying to sign in while I'm doing the podcast because I got everything going.
Hey, Dan, your thoughts on Illinois, by the way, somebody wants to know.
Yeah, you know what? Let's give Illinois somewhat of a reset this year. I'm going to give Illinois a reset. we're going to see what happens early on. So,
as far as the no crowd stuff, though, like
you're taking emotion out of it. I mean, really, you're removing his home field. In hockey, I don't think it matters one iota. I think in the NBA, it matters significantly. I think in baseball, it matters a little bit. In the NFL, I think it matters a whole hell of a lot. I think it really does. Really does. And, I think that that's, I think it's going to be really big in the NFL. How do you value a home crowd now? You know, playing in Arrowhead and being able to go to Kansas City where you can't hear your own thoughts as a quarterback now versus playing in a silent stadium or, you know, some crowd noise, but it's not going to be nearly or even remotely close to as bad. It's just not the same.
Okay, moving on here and a couple of people checking in here. Let's see what else. We already got into that. The Till conversation, people like. Dan on the WNBA, which we'll touch on in a little bit. WNBA for life. just want to say y'all are goats and helped us make better. All right. Let's just start something right there. We're two dudes who like to bet who work at a radio station. We'd love to be full-time in radio. We have a good thing going with DraftKings right now. But, like, the one thing I think that gets me and Dan, or Dan and I, is the fact that, like, you guys are clueless or you don't know shit or blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, we're doing this professionally, man. Like, we're doing this just to, like, you know, have fun with it. But there are also people that are knee-deep in it, and we want to talk about it. Where is there a place that you can discuss sports betting in the city? There's nowhere.
Nowhere.
That's what this is. So whether you like us or you don't like us, and the other thing too is, you know, I always drop the fade or follow in there because, hey, that's my pick. If you don't like it, fade it. I'm fine with it. You're fine with it, Dan. Like, we don't care. It's just like at some point, dude, this, we're going into our third season. Like, the show's been successful, and we just want to continue to, you know, to try to bring, you know, attention to sports betting and make it more entertaining, but also have it be something profitable. And let's not forget, you know, we're in a crisis. You know, we're all in this together, Dan. But today, the governor of Massachusetts himself said that he thinks that gambling could help the economy. And we know that, you know, DraftKings is in New Hampshire. We know that, you know, you can go to New Jersey. You can go to other states to gamble. When this stuff becomes big here, you're going to want to know about it.
Agreed.
And if you're going in blind, dude, you're going to be way behind. And I'm glad that 98.5 The Sports Hub gave us that platform, what, a year, 2 years ago. But, like, I think we're closer to this, Dan, than we are further away from it. And I think now's the time to start, man. And when you have apps like DraftKings and, you know, whatever account you use, I think it's good to get ahead of it now and be ready for it. And I just wanted to share that.
I agree. Nope. You're not going to get a. Sorry about that. You're not going to get an argument from me. I listen. Not trying to sit here and tout us. Some sort of baseball gods or some sort of betting gods. We're just trying to help. We both, you know, do pretty well, I would say, in being successful. And kind of doing everything. So, anyways, pretty simple. We're here to help you guys. We're here to do what we can. If you guys make money, awesome. That's all that matters to me. So we're just going to kind of, you know, go and try and help you guys with that shit.
Listen, if we were 80%, Dan, I wouldn't be here. I'm sorry.
Of course.
If I was 80%, I love you, buddy. But, like, yeah.
Listen, see ya. If you were 80%, if you were 80%, I'd give you my life savings right now to invest immediately.
Like, Dan, I'd be out. I'd be like, all right, see ya. Like, I'm going to some island. I'm going to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, but I also don't want people to think that, you know, we're like, I work in radio because I want to work in radio, not because of the money. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're not getting paid, you know, enough to, yeah,
like,
you know,
unless we're not crying about being part-time or anything. I mean, hey, listen, we want.
Oh, no.
This could develop into something big, and I think it will at some point. We're still young. Like, we're in our 30s. You know what I mean? Like, this is still something we're developing here, but we appreciate the support. We get haters. You can't win every bet. We get it. But we're not sitting here being like, call me now. You know, we're not touting our, we like doing a radio show, man, and I think we're ahead of the game, and we'll leave it at that. All right, let's get into the good stuff here because I got some odds that have come over.
It's time to actually get into some over-under. I mean, usually we open up the podcast discussing what happened the last week, what went wrong, what went right. Obviously, it's been, what, 4 months, 5 months since we've been able to do a podcast outside of the show. So, I mean, now it's just, you know, it's time to get into some shit. So let's do, I mean, whatever, what do you want to start with? Baseball?
Yeah, let's get some baseball stuff over with. I'm looking at my I saved a bunch of stuff to talk about the show here, so I just want to pull it up real quick. I had some individual stuff too that I wanted to mention. Like, somebody mentioned that Fernando Tatis Jr. Like, I actually have bet. You can actually bet on him. Like, for example, what did I just see here? If his batting average, you can bet on if he's going to be over or under 315 this year. You can bet on if he's going to hit over or under 15 and a half home runs.
Right.
Like yeah. that's kind of cool stuff. So I want to actually bring this up quick, Dan, because we've talked about it a few times. Is there value in betting the win totals this year? I guess I'll just like throw that fastball right down the middle of the plate for you.
Yeah. So we actually discussed this last Saturday and didn't get into a huge conversation, but I tell you guys who are looking to bet the win totals of baseball this year, especially at this point, you're late to the game. And unfortunately, what basically has happened is when the market opens with baseball win totals, right? I think it's probably late February, mid February. All the moves already happened. So then the sharp moves already happened. All the value is essentially, for the most part, gone. What happens then is, or basically what happened this year is, so we had all the moves. The move was, there was little value left, not a ton, but a little bit of value left. Then we moved to a 60-game season. So basically what they did is they said, okay, we're going to take the win totals we have now. We're going to multiply that times, 160 divided by 80. And 60 divided by 180. And, we're going to get the win totals from there. So what you're really looking at, what you're really betting on, are the versions of win totals that have already been sharped to the point where there's not a lot of true value. And that's why you haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of movement. I mean, I think there's been a little bit of movement on the Braves and the Red Sox win totals. I know the Red Sox were 31.5, and now they're 29.5, and you're seeing the White Sox at 32.5. So like there's a gain here and there, but for the most part, you're not seeing the drastic moves like you usually would. And what I'm going to tell you is, I would tend, unless you find something you really like in baseball, and I found a few. I gave out the Tigers under, who I really like, 22.5. I think that's down to 22. And I think I gave out the Pirates under 24.5. You can still get that. I think with the exception of maybe one to two teams, you're not looking at a lot there. So what I'm going to tell you is, stay away from the baseball win totals. It's just there isn't enough value this year based upon the way things have moved. If you don't get in early, the value is gone most of the time. And at this point, we're super, super late to the game. So yeah, the value is gone. The value is gone. And I don't think that you're going to get a ton here. And I think that you're going to see a lot of teams that are right around the win totals this year. A lot of close ones.
Okay. Someone's digging the pineapple shirt. Thank you very much.
It's a sweet shirt.
I got a bunch of these, man. They're like 4XL. I want to make like my own version. Maybe we'll make Ben. Maybe we'll make Bankroll Boys Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, fucking in on that. I need a good fucking Hawaiian shirt.
What is the sports up doing? Beasley Bankroll Boy Hawaiian t-shirts or Hawaiian shirts.
We just need to shop already. We need to get everything going.
I mean, I'll wear a hat. Oh, give me a damn koozie or something. You know what I mean? Just, I know. Something's going on in the world and whatever.
You gotta be careful.
All right, Dan. So the current odds to win, as we mentioned earlier, Dodgers and Yankees both 4-1. Just looking at it here, back in February, the Dodgers are 4-1 and the Yankees are 7-2. So the Yankees have moved 4-1, followed by the Astros 10-1. They had an interesting day yesterday, getting plunked. I wonder if that might be it. These are weird odds. I'm just going to go through them. Dodgers, Yankees, done. Okay, they're at the we know they're at the top.
Astros. Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you're taking the Dodgers or Yankees, yeah, I mean, you're catching the tail end. There's no value there. You're better off not touching that at
now,
all.
Dan, I just want to be honest. I'm fading it. It's not a educated, bet. I bet you the Yankees. I mean, I think that the Yankees and Dodgers are probably the best two teams, but it's one of those things for me that I fade the favorites sometimes. Maybe not in the NBA, not in the NBA finals, that's for sure. But
yep.
I'm just gonna fade it. So the Astros 10-1 could be. The Minnesota Twins are getting a lot of love at 16-1.
Yeah, well, let me say something about the Astros. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to their bullpen or not. It's a fucking shit show. It's a mess right now. If you're, and I think that especially in the 60 games where you're going to have pitchers who are not going to want to go, we're not going to want to run your starting pitchers into the ground. Okay, bullpens are going to be massive. The Astros to me look like they need a lot of additions bullpen wise. I wouldn't go near them. 10-1, 11-1. I really think you need to be. significantly higher than that on the Astros in order for me to take some value there, because they just don't look like a team that can really compete now or even in the playoffs. They have a bullpen that's going to just be a mess.
Okay. And then there's just the Twins. What's the love with the Twins this year? I know they were a decent team last year, and then I'll look them up here. But, like, they're getting a lot. And that might be a team to look at, Dan. Like, the A's for me, I don't know what it is. They stand out to me. It has nothing to do with who's on their team or what it is. Like, every year they go on some little run. They find some nice player. Like, I don't know if they're going to look for trades like they normally did with Billy. Like, I wonder if Billy, they're looking at it this year like, let's try to get into the playoffs. Let's, you know, because every year they're trying to maneuver for next year or money-wise. Well, we already know what the money is. So, like, I wonder if a team like that actually wants to be competitive this year. That's why I'm looking at a team like them. You know, the Braves are getting so much love in the National League. We already mentioned the Reds. But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just – is there another team? I know you said the White Sox you think could, you know, or you know, Cleveland and teams like that.
No, I do.
You're out on.
I don't think the White Sox.
You're out on the White Sox.
I'm out on the White Sox. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
But like, just. Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. No. What I was going to say is, I think if you're looking for, if you want to take some baseball futures, right? And I think that obviously, if you're taking the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Astros, you know, it's going to come back to bite you. At this point, the prices are too. You know, there's no value there. They've been hit down too much. You know. It's just you're burning your money in my personal opinion. Okay, yeah. At this point, you're better off betting series odds, you know, with the Yankees and everything, than betting the Yankees to win the World Series. It's garbage. It's not going to be anything there. I think if you want a few teams that you could possibly take a look at for some value, I think the Indians. Right, you know, if you can get a 25 to 22 to 1 range, I really think that that's a team that has. They have the hitting, they have the starting pitching, they have a pretty decent bullpen. To me, that's a team that still has some, you know, some value on the board.
So you like 15-1 odds for them to possibly win the pennant?
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah. I like the Cardinals. Cardinals at 30-40 to 1. Listen, I think in a 60-game season, they have enough talent to, you know, pull through. And they have an ace in Jack Flaherty, who is, in my opinion, the number 1, 2, 3, 4 starting pitcher in the league. You know, it's really, you know, and talking about young aces coming up, you know, Bueller, I know, is kind of already, what, 26 at this point, but Flaherty's, what, 24, 25. He's an ace. He's an ace. So he, you know, the Cardinals have their front of the line guy, and you can put it back together. They have some hitting. They have an elite catcher. That's another team I look for and say, hey, you know, maybe there's some value there about, you know, kind of like taking an approach to them. And the third team I would look at, maybe, and again, just maybe, I think about taking the Angels. In a 60-game sample, you know, with everything that they have going on, they've made some additions with Rendon. I don't love them, but I think that there might be a little bit of value left. You know, 30-1, 35-1.
So I actually like that, Dan. Talent, right? 60-game season, talent. They have it. Yeah. They have talent there. Otani, what's his deal? Is he going to pitch? What's going to happen?
So Otani is doing both. Otani is pitching and he's hitting.
Okay,
so,
I saw odds on that. I'll bring that up in a little bit. I saw our odds. They have some projections for him this year. And just to throw it out there, the pennant odds, because I think sometimes to win the pennant might be better than, you know, going to the World Series. I used to do that with the Patriots. I used to bet them every year to go to the Super Bowl instead of winning the Super Bowl, and then I could hedge or whatever in the long run. But right now you have the Angels at 16-1. Dude, they were 10-1 odds in February. They've gone up to 16-1. There's value there. So I know you mentioned that sometimes some of the value is gone. But it's just weird how it went to that. You know, you mentioned the Cardinals. They were 9-1. They're now 12-1 odds to win it all. So right. Their value is gone up too.
And again, we're talking about a 60-game season, unprecedented. We don't really know what's going to happen. In 60 games last year, the Nationals don't make the playoffs. I mean, they win the World Series, they don't make the playoffs. So, again, I think in a 60-game sample, despite the fact that everyone feels that 60 games is, you know, a decent enough sample size, it's really not. It can be interpreted as a pretty small sample, especially when it comes to baseball. So I think you're going to see teams, maybe the big favorites, maybe you get, you know, the Dodgers or the Yankees in the World Series. But if you're telling me that you think you're going to get a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, I think you're crazy. I don't think that's going to happen. I'd be stunned if we got I'd still be shocked if we got one of those teams in the World Series, honestly. I just think that this season is going to be wacky. It's going to be weird. And I think that if you're trying to do too much with baseball, it's going to be too much. And I kind of want to go through the divisions because I think that the best value that you'll get right now in baseball, you know, whatever, are the division odds. Because I think that there is legitimate value in the division odds, especially right now, and going through all that.
So let's go through it then. I guess if you look at the AL East, right? Yankees, Rays, Red Sox. Is it Yankees or bust? Or do you think could the Red Sox surprise? Is it the Yankees or bust? And do you see value in the Yankees?
Let me see what the Yankees are. So the Yankees are -450 to win the East. I'm not touching that line. There's no value there. It's, you know, you're all you're doing is, you know, listen, is it likely a winner? Yeah. Are there better -450s out there if you want to lay something that heavy? Absolutely. So to me, that's a hard, hard pass. If you move on to the AL Central, and again, you guys have already talked about me. You guys have already heard me talk about this. I'm going Cleveland +350. I mean, to me, I think there's legitimate value for them to win the division. I know everyone loves the White Sox. To me, that sleeper to come out. I think if the White Sox are going to have a year, I think it's next year. I think maybe they're a year off. They're, you know, Luis Robert, you know, gets 60, 70 games. Moncada gets another year. I think they're about a year off. So I think maybe the White Sox next year are a team to look at. But this year, I like the Indians +350. In fact, Joe, give me PP.
All right.
+350 to win the AL Central.
So I like it.
I really like Cleveland.
I like it for the simple fact that Minnesota is this favorite, right? Like, Minnesota's the darlings of the AL Central this year. And I still think they got a lot to prove, man. The Royals have tapered off the Tigers blow. And the White Sox, they are the White Sox. So why not Cleveland? A good manager, dude. With a lot of talent on that team, I think it's a good bet, man. And you know, while we're on AL West, I know you mentioned the Angels. I like the A's. But dude, at one point, Seattle, you mentioned last year, Washington wouldn't have made the playoffs within 60 games. Mariners were a good team early on last year. Like the Rangers, you know. But look, that AL West, I wouldn't bet that division. I just think it's too up in the air. It could be the Astros are favored, right? So it could be the Astros. You mentioned the Angels in the 60-game series. I like Oakland for that matter. I just am – if I was going to bet on a team on there, it'd be the Athletics. But I see your value in the Angels too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's hard to make an argument because I do think that the Astros still have so much talent in the lineup right now. And even they have an ace in Verlander. I'm not sure the A's have one. I mean, Lizardo is going to be really, really good. I think that he could potentially be the AL Rookie of the Year. So I think there's going to be some value in the A's. But I think you might be able to get a better price during the midseason if you really, you know, if you could find some players offering odds on that. You take a look, Joe, and I want to move to the NL Central here because I think we just kind of covered the AL. The NL Central has some of the weirdest division odds I've seen. You got the Cardinals at +190, the Cubs at +190, the Brewers at +350, the Reds at +250, and the Pirates at +8500. The Pirates suck. They're not going to win the division, okay? No matter what the wackiness of the 60 games, I'd still argue teams like the Pirates and the Tigers are still probably going to suck, okay? What is this a division to just stay the hell away from in terms of betting? Because,
yeah,
well, I like St. Louis. Again, I have Jack Flaherty at the front of the rotation. I think you have plenty of talent there.
So, Dan, that's the pick. I'm telling you. Like, the Cubs should be good. The Reds are overhyped. And the Brewers, people think they're one of the better in that division. the Cardinals aren't getting the respect, but the problem is these teams play each other so tough. It's like actual rivalries between these teams when they play.
Yeah.
So would I stay away? Yeah, but there's value, right? We talk about value. Where's the value? Boom, Cardinals.
Yeah. The other one that I'm going to play, and I think – let me preface this. I don't think that this is going to win, okay? I don't think this is going to win, but I think that there is legitimate value in this play. The Phillies plus 450 to win the NL East.
Whoa.
I think they were super hyped last year when they got Bryce Harper, and I think they're still very talented. I think you see a lot of World Series drop-offs. I think that that's very possible with the Washington Nationals, right? I think you see possibly a slow start, you know, whatever. The Atlanta Braves are super hyped, super young. I think they have a lot of pitching and a lot of hitting. But and I don't take the Mets seriously. No Syndergaard this year. At times I think they're going to be good, but I still don't think they're going to be great. I think if you're looking for a real sleeper in the NL, I think the Phillies would be one, at least win the division. I don't think they have the frontline pitching talent to go out there and win the World Series, but they have a really good bullpen, and they have the hitting to, you know, get them by the NL East. I would dabble Phillies plus 500 or 450, whatever you can find. There's a 500 on your Ace PPH if you can grab that. Phillies plus 500 to win the division. I'm not telling you to play it big. It's small, but it's a PP, so give me the Phillies plus 500 to win the NL East.
Boom. NL East 15-4 odds right now as of July 22nd. They were 7-2. Now they're 15-4. And these are all current. I'm looking at Bet Online at the moment. These are all current here. And then obviously the West has the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks.
The Dodgers are minus 900.
Yeah.
In the NL series. So to me, that's
let's have some fun with this. I think these are interesting. Arizona Diamondbacks to make the playoffs. Minus 220, no. It's now minus 260. I don't think they make the playoffs, do you?
I don't either, but again, what if, Joe, I want to stay away from these because what we got to stay away until tomorrow because what the hell happens if they expand to 16 teams?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So then you're going to start having the whites, you know, then you have to look and say, oh man, I can get, you know, a little bit of value here. I think that's different. So what I think you're going to see is a lot of these bets. So for instance, you know, the PBH I'm looking at right now, the bet says teams must play 30 plus games for bets to stand. Playoffs must include wild card game.
Yeesh.
So, you know.
Okay. Braves to make the playoffs right now. Do you think they make the playoffs?
Yes, I would tend to say that the Braves win the division or are the first wild card team in.
They're minus 130.
Yeah. The Braves, yes, to me. The Indians are, I think, minus 115. The Indians, again, are a yes to me. I'd look at maybe some no's for a little bit of value as well. Like, is it possible the Minnesota Twins don't make the playoffs? Plus 175. You know, I think that's something to look at there. You know, I think that's definitely possible. The Cardinals to make the playoffs are plus 120 or plus 140, depending on where you're looking. So I think you can probably get maybe a little bit of value there if you wanted to take the Cardinals. I think that you have to be careful with these plays. Read the bet. Make sure you know what you're betting on, what this includes. You don't want to lock up, however much your money, and there's nothing there. By the way, the Red Sox just gave up a long dong to Vlad Guerrero Jr. Long dong.
How would the crowd noise?
It was ecstatic. I'm sorry. It was ecstatic. Yeah, that was a very, very long dong.
Was Eck like, oh, man.
I can't hear and I have it muted, but wow, is that a fucking moonshot.
I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, that was a hanging breaking ball from Brian Johnson. He just smashed the hell out of that. But yeah, but you know, kind of getting back, I would – I would tend to say, you know, you guys kind of understand where I lie in terms of baseball betting. I think the over-unders are going to be really tough. I think if you're looking for futures in terms of betting, you know who's going to win the World Series, I think you need to look at long shots this year, because I think long shots are the way to go, especially the MLB. Kind of like the way I would approach the NHL in a normal season. Maybe go for some longer odds and then try and, you know, see what you can do later in the season. Maybe hedge those off in the playoffs or whatever. But yeah, I think that the way to approach baseball this year, especially, is division odds if you want to do that, and game by game. So, Joe, do you want to get into the game lines for tomorrow night? Because I know we might not have the Yankees games tomorrow night.
Can you believe that? How 2020 is that? Opening night, Thursday, and the shit gets rained out. Oh,
it's gonna be fucking ridiculous, dude. It's gonna be so brutal if we don't get the game, and we have to wait to 10 o'clock to get the Dodgers Giants. But Joe, have you looked at the line tomorrow? Is there anything that you like in the Yankees Nats game?
One thing before we get to it.
Sure.
PP Oakland Athletics to make the playoffs -130.
Okay. You're really high on Oakland this year.
Nothing to do with them in particular. It's just I feel like a team like them is going to you know what, Dan? I am. You know what?
You're very, very high on Oakland this year.
And I couldn't tell you like 10 guys on the team, but you know what? I'm high on them.
Okay.
So let's go.
Okay. They have pitching. You know, they have some legitimate pitching talent. So, we'll see what happens there.
All right. Well, Dan, you mentioned the opening game tomorrow. I know that you are not a fan of Gerrit Cole.
It's not that I'm not a fan of Gerrit Cole. I think that he's going to struggle in the situation that he's being put in right now. I don't think he's a frontline guy. I think he did really well because he was pitching behind Verlander at times or had Verlander to back him up. I think he's going to struggle in New York. I mean, you kind of saw that, you know, with other guys previously. I think Cole is going to struggle in New York. So I'm going to fade Cole tomorrow. I'm going to take the Nats team total over 3.5 PP. We'll open up the baseball season with a play. So if this game plays, give me the Nats team total over 3.5.
Ooh, that's a right on the number, dude. All right, I have a 4-3 win. So here's the deal. Gerrit Cole has won 16 straight decisions in the regular season. His last loss was May 22nd of 2019.
Great. Then he's due. I understand everything behind Cole. He's a really good pitcher. I just have
no. I know you did. You want to like fade? What do you fade? He's on.
I don't like him this year.
Yeah, he's on the fade list.
I don't like him this year.
We should probably mention this too. Pitchers will not hit in the National League this year. So
yeah,
you know. The Nationals will probably have like Howie Kendrick or somebody be their designated hitter. You mentioned the team total over 3.5. I see like a 4-3 game. But let's now add 2 DHs. Maybe the over is the way to go, man.
I think early on you're going to see a lot of people try and take some unders. Are people going to forget that, you know, there's maybe, you know, a DH in the NL now, and so that kind of changes things. So I just we'll see what happens here. I think that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be say, wow, that number is high, wow, that number is high, or wow, that number is really low. And I think you're going to see some people struggle with totals early on, especially in baseball this year. I'm telling you, it's a totally different ballgame this year. It's going to be harder to bet. The number is going to be different. It's going to be a crapshoot. I really think that early on, I know that I'm giving out a PP. I'm just saying early on, I think it's going to be difficult. That's all.
Okay. You get the Nats team total there. I want to get into a couple more baseball stuff, but let's take a couple more questions. Sun's out, guns out. Our Ben, buddy Ben's checking in. Ding, ding. Someone just mentioned this, my buddy Nick. Do you think the Flyers are overvalued in the series versus Boston in the NHL?
Let's save that for the NHL podcast.
Yes, and here's the deal. Just there's a couple of things going on with the Bruins, at least locally here. Maybe other people don't know about it. David Pastrnak and Andrei Kasha have not officially practiced. And Cam Neely announced that they're probably not going to practice until they join the team in Toronto. Also, Tuukka Rask hurt his finger doing box jumps on his glove hand. He says he's fine, but he's not able to use his normal glove at the moment. I think he'll be fine, but it's just something to keep in mind. Let's also mention that the series, you know, I think the Bruins should be loaded and ready to go. Dan, we talk about favorites and all that stuff. The favorites don't always win in the NHL. There's different winners every year. The Bruins are poised. It's just that their goaltender and their best player right now aren't at 100% going into Toronto. So that,
Tuukka Rask with a broken finger.
And that's a radio guy spin, okay? When it comes to betting, does it matter? I don't know, but it's just it's spin.
I do think that it's probably overvalued right now. We're how far away from the Bruins playing their first game. So, you know, I tend to stay away.
Patriots Cowboys Super Bowl next year? No.
No. No. I mean, listen, we're gonna be honest. I know everyone's gonna be in on Cam Newton and the Patriots this year. I think now we're going too far the other way. We're going too far the other way. It was first, oh, the Patriots are gonna suck, we're gonna win, you know, no games, and now it's gonna be the Patriots gonna be Super Bowl champions again. I think it's gonna be somewhere in between. You know what I mean? Patriots are gonna be 9-10-11 team and maybe they have a chance to make the AFC championship, but even then I still don't think they're talented enough yet.
Barstool Sportsbook, someone mentioned that. They know they merged with was it Penn Hill?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about it or an app. Have you? I mean, he mentioned he saw promos.
So, yeah, Barstool's opening up a sports book at some point. I guess they're going to be doing lining things differently and stuff like that. I have no idea about anything on it. No inside information. Okay. Couldn't tell you anything.
That's interesting, though. I mean, hey, listen, there's enough people who go there. Why not bet there? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know anything about it. First I heard about it, but hey, if you can, for those who use the app, hell, why not? You know, is the podcast going to be a regular thing? We do a show every week at 7 a.m. that's podcasted. So if you wake your ass up at 7 a.m., you'll get bets. And also, we'll be on the Toucher and Rich program Thursdays at 7. Every Thursday at 7. Tomorrow at 7, we'll be on.
But I think he's asking if we bring it back, the Over Under 95 podcast, regularly. Weekly, I think we're going to try. We're going to try and bring it back.
I want to. It just comes down to, like, you know, I want to do college football. Are we going to have college football? That's a question mark.
Right.
There's a lot of things. We can do this. It's just our time and availability.
Yeah. So what I'm going to say is we're going to try. I think that Joe and I will do an NBA podcast coming up in the next, you know, we'll probably do that next week. What does the NBA start?
The 30th, I believe, is the opening night.
Right.
So a week from the next week.
So we'll probably do one about a week from today, I think, the opening night is the 29th. I think you got two games that night. Yeah. So I think, maybe we'll do, like a week from today, we'll probably do NBA and NHL. We'll discuss doing the NHL one too. Maybe we'll have to do an NBA and an NHL.
Yeah, well, maybe we got to condense them. And I know that you can bet on the scrimmages right now. I'm gonna stay away from that. Dan, you have fun. I am going to stay away from that.
What I would tell you is if you can find value in everything. Like, for instance, the Nets were like four and a half point dog to the Pelicans. Like, even without them, the Nets are playing like literally off the scrap heap. I mean, you know.
Yeah. It's like the Ohio State basketball team. And
so that's like my point is, regardless, it doesn't matter. You can still find value in anything. You just, you have to find the right things. That's all.
Hey, Dan, early morning MLS unders. I hit the Revs the other day for the under. The reason why I took the under was the line moved from 2.5 to 3. Normally, Toronto FC was putting up 3 goals a game and giving up 2 a game while the Revs were, you know, scoring a goal a game or whatever. I took the under based off a line move. It was a fade. That's it. But is this a trend? Is this something to look at, or is it going to bite everyone's ass when they start?
So I think it's now 5-2-1. Our buddy Brick brought it up to me yesterday. Seven games, again, I'm going to say the same thing to him, or to say same thing to you that I said to him. It's a small sample. All you need is two losses, and you're basically breaking even at 5-4-1, right? So, you know, to me, I think you'll be up, you know, a minuscule amount. I would still say it's not a trend. Seven games is not enough to bet on any sort of information. So I would stay away. Yet, if you want to go for it, go be my guest. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to go on it because I think it's a little too early. That's all. Okay.
All right, we got another 20 minutes or so in the broadcast. Dan, WNBA starts this week. I want to at least give you the floor. I don't want to give you just 2 minutes to talk about it, and then we'll do some more baseball stuff. But the WNBA begins. All right, so tell me, forget about the listeners.
Okay.
What advantages are you looking at? Like, you know, I know some of the big names. You know, I look at the favorites. I've bet on WNBA before and have won because it's been very square. You know, the totals sometimes have hit. But I'm not a dude, trust me, I know nothing. So, like, tell me what you're looking for when it comes to a line or a team or an injury with the WNBA, and I guess, like, who's the team that you're watching this year?
So, the team that I'm on, and I gave it out Saturday, and by the way, Joe, since Saturday, the odds have moved significantly.
Ooh, the line mover.
Yep, significantly. What I'm going to say is, and this is basically my thing. Sorry, I'm trying to get ready for my draft here, and my league is going in, going out, and they're being ridiculous. What I will say is, to me, the Seattle Storm are the best team in the league this year, without a doubt. Sue Bird comes back. They have a large, large amount of talent. So the Seattle Storm, to me, are the play. If you can find some really, really good odds. Breonna Stewart and Sue Bird, to me, are two of the best players in the league. Then you have players like Jordan Canada, who I think was an all-star last year. I'm not going to go into the whole roster, okay? You have a lot of fucking talent on this team. And they are comparable to the Mystics in terms of talent. The Mystics, it sounds like, are going to be without Elena Deladon, who was the MVP and the main player last year. They're already without their point guard, Cloud. So, you know, the Mystics are down talent already, okay? Seattle is the best team. They're the deepest team. The one thing that's the problem with them is they don't have their head coach. And while in the NBA, head coaching doesn't matter as much as some people think, I don't think personally it matters that much, you know, too much. The WNBA coaching matters. They're without their coach this year, won't be in the WNBA bubble. So that is going to affect them. Nonetheless, if you can find a 450 and above line, you got to take it. You absolutely got to take it, because I think by the end of the year, the Storm will be, you know, number one in the league and or right up there. Phoenix is also right up there. I had a quick discussion today with our guy from DraftKings, Julian Edlow, and he really likes Phoenix Mercury. I think Phoenix is really good talent-wise, but I still feel as if they are lacking the depth to, you know, take them deep into the playoffs, especially if we're going to have injuries or everything in the shortened season and, you know, it's going to be different for me. So I don't love Phoenix, but I do think they're very talented as well. If you can find a good value, a good price on the Seattle Storm, I gave out +500 and +550 on Saturday. That's what it was on Saturday. It is now Wednesday, and that has dipped to 350 across the board most places. There are some 400s up on some PPHs, but for the most part, your 500s are gone. If you can find a 450, or you can find a 500, please take it. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it at the end of the season. You'll probably be able to hedge off it. In terms of team totals, Joe, and yes, they are offering WNBA team totals. Not surprisingly, I'm going Storm over 14.5. To me, that is I think they're going to be the best team in the league. They're deep. They can handle injuries. I think they're going to win 15, 16 games. I think they're really good. a team I'm super down on this year, the New York Liberty. Everyone doesn't seem to be super down on them. I think they're kind of going to suck. I'm on the under for the New York Liberty, under 9.5. And one other one I tend to give out, the Dallas Wings are over under 6.5. I haven't played it yet, but I'm really, really contemplating Dallas over 6.5. I think now they're being – we've gone too far the end of the way. They are now more talented than they were earlier in the league. We're going to find out early on, you know, what they really are. But I think Dallas over 6.5, I think they'll probably win about 8 to 10 games in that region too. So those would be the three that I would look at in terms of win totals. If you followed the WNBA last year, you knew that the Chicago Sky overs were a thing. You rode the Chicago Sky overs. I think early on, we're going to have to see where those numbers lie. We do not have confirmed rosters yet for WNBA. We do not have totals or lines yet, and the game starts Saturday. I'm hoping that they're out tomorrow, Joe. I'm hoping that they're out tomorrow, but the reason you're not seeing them on, you know, FanDuel, DraftKings, and all these places because we don't even have confirmed rosters for the teams yet, and they're 3 days away from playing. So it's interesting.
What kind of values in that?
Do we ride
the favorites then?
Listen. The WNBA is a square man's league. It's getting the best numbers that will win you games in the WNBA. That's what it is. It's getting those numbers, getting them in, getting them early. And so to me, that is going to be the
example, if a team's 380, you put up the 380, you'll win, but you just have the ball. You have to have the balls to do it, but you'll be successful.
I wouldn't take money line. I wouldn't take like 380 money lines. I'm talking about like I'm talking about spreads, especially the early spreads. They are super, super square. So you'll be able to get some really good value on teams early on. And then as you go, you know, as the season moves on, they'll kind of, you know, move around a little bit. So or even throughout the day, I mean, you'll see a team like, you know, the Storm maybe open 3.5, and by the time game tips off, they're 7.5. There's massive moves in the WNBA. So what I'm going to tell you guys is I'm going to post stuff. It's going to move very fucking quick. So you guys have to be on your ass. I'm going to be honest with you. If it moves like 3 points, I can't help you. I apologize. The WNBA, and you guys all learned it last year, it's about getting the line. The best line, that's all it is. And so to me, we're going to have to do that this year. So you guys are going to have to be ready and willing to get in and get those best, get those lines and be ready. Have the alerts on if you want to play WNBA, because I think it's going to be a fun year this year. I really do. I do think that if you got the Storm future on Saturday, I think that you're going to be very happy and very pleased with where that ends up. And I think that if you guys ever are able to get some other team totals, feel free to DM me. I'll definitely try and, you know, help you as much as I can. But I don't know what the league is going to look like total-wise and spread-wise early on. I can tell you I'm really high on Seattle. I'm higher on Dallas than most. I'm lower on New York than most. And I'm still particularly high on the Washington Mystics, even without Elena Deladon. Niesemann is amazing for that team. I still think they have enough depth, just not enough to win. So I still think that they have enough to get to that 13, 14, 15 win range. I just don't think they're going to win. And I also will say this. I am much lower on the Connecticut Sun than other people are. I know that everyone is super high on them as well. I'm lower on the Connecticut Sun. So another one I haven't played yet. But anyways, my peepees, and I'm going to give them out. So peepee, here's your bell. Pay attention, okay? New York Liberty, under 9.5 wins. Seattle Storm, over 14.5 wins. Dallas Wings, over 6.5 wins. And if you can get a Seattle Storm future, 450 or better to win the WNBA title, even 400 at this point, I think, might be worth it. You got to take it. There you go. That is my my WNBA for
I had some Pop Tarts while you were doing that.
You got to eat something. I'm gonna take a drink now.
Yeah, sorry. This guy's like, put the food down. I mean, a damn Pop Tart. I got my popcorn ready, man. I'm getting my WNBA bets in. People are saying they're not on DraftKings yet. So I know you mentioned that the rosters weren't.
So again, they're not there.
All right. Well, that was entertaining. Maybe I'll start betting WNBA and then we'll like talk about it. Maybe we'll call it. Is there a wrangle?
I have not found one yet, but I'm sure there is. I do believe at the end of last year, we were onto a few things. So we'll see.
If draft, wow. That's interesting. I wonder, we don't know this. We'll find out. I know your boy. Congrats to Julian Edlow, by the way, doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he's making it big. So congrats to Edlow.
But I'm not sure if DraftKings does book WNBA.
They do.
They do. Okay.
They did last year. I know that it took them a while to get stuff up, but they did book last year. Same with Bookmaker or Chris, as you guys might know it. They took them a while to get some WNBA stuff too. They will absolutely have that this year. And the other thing, actually, you know, Joe, one of the things I want to talk about with baseball this year, I'm going to have to excuse my voice. Right. One thing I want to talk about baseball this year, people have to be aware of the baseball bets. Got to be aware. What is happening this year in baseball betting is action bets. Most places, for basically every single year, have had listed pitchers. So you bet a pitcher, yada, yada, yada. If this pitcher was pitching, you got it. If the pitcher got scratched, it was canceled. Now, most places are just doing action because of the COVID list, because Justin Verlander could come down with COVID, I guess, you know, 10 minutes before the game. So what's happening is now books are taking action bets. That means that if you bet on the Dodgers minus 300 with Kershaw and he gets scratched, you know, your bet won't be minus 300 with, you know, Rich Hill out of the bullpen. It will be with someone else. So it will be a little bit, you know, better. Your bet will adjust. What I'm going to tell you is wherever you bet, read your MLB rules and read them early. If you have any questions, feel free to DM me. I'll be glad to answer any questions about them and try and explain, you know, how it's going to affect MLB betting. But please be very careful, because I don't want you betting action on a team and then having that pitcher scratch and you losing your mind over it. You're going to have to pay very close attention to baseball betting this year. So hopefully that helps. Joe, that is my WNBA and my MLB minute.
All right. We got about 10 more minutes left. I have some more stuff. Maybe we can just kind of go over, because I know people are into the
let's open up for some questions.
And the Q&A, of course, you know, if you want to open it up, we got about another 10 minutes or so here. There's stuff coming out like that has nothing to do with gambling, but like Tom Brady just spoke about how the NFL needs to be better. Yet this guy is like breaking the rules on like like the NFLPA needs to make sure we're safe. Yeah, but you're out there like, you know, practicing when you shouldn't be, dude. Whatever. Am I a Brady hater? Is that what's coming on now?
You are absolutely a Brady hater. Totally.
The other thing too is Cam Newton just arrived in Boston and they had a video. And like you should have saw me today, Dan, when Cam Newton was throwing passes to Julian Edelman. I was like, whoa. And then all of a sudden they had the Disturbed music in the background, the wah, you know, that song.
Yep.
And I didn't know that song was in the background. And then obviously it was Rip City from there. All right. A couple more things here when it comes to baseball. I thought these were pretty interesting. MVP of the league, Mike Trout is the favorite. Gleyber Torres, Aaron Judge, Alex Bregman, Francisco Lindor, Shohei Ohtani, Rafael Devers, Chapman, Rendon, Josh Donaldson, Yoan Moncada's on this list. Anybody stand out to you, Dan, to be the American League MVP this year?
I think taking Lindor 10-1 definitely has some serious potential for value in the AL. I think you probably have to consider taking a Mike Trout if you get a 250 or above. If you can't, probably not. I think Torres and Judge are going to hurt each other quite a bit. I think Lindor on this list, I think Lindor is going to have a monster season. I'm very high on him. I think Jose Ramirez is going to have a bounce back year as well. I would look at Lindor 10-1. There's probably some better ones out there. I saw 14 the one the other day. I would shop around, try and get a Francisco Lindor MVP ticket. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. I'm high on him.
All right. I don't have a dog in the fight, and I'm not going to bet it. But if I was going to take an MVP, call me square, dude. You know what? Give me Aaron Judge, 12-1.
Again, the only problem with Judge is that he's going to be in the same lineup with Torres.
And not even that, dude. It's the fact that, like, he might get days off, and, like, if they get out to a lead, they don't play him. He still has those injuries.
Yeah,
he's going to get days off. It's probably not a value pick. It's probably not a good pick. But give me Aaron Judge.
Okay.
I'm going against it. National League, Ronald Acuna, the favorite, 4-1, followed by Christian Yelich. Mookie Betts is 6-1. Juan Soto, 8-1. Cody Bellinger, Tatis Jr., Bryce Harper is on the list. Nolan Arenado, dude, the National League's got a hell of a players, huh?
Yeah, the National League is loaded. I really, really, really want to stay away from the National League MVP. I don't think you're going to get value. I just don't. I think it's going to be one of those top 6-7 guys. And if you're taking, you know, a real just chance, I mean, really, there's at this point, those lines have been bet down so much. I think you're just taking a shot in the dark. I would stay away from the NL MVP betting. That's me. If you really like someone, you like an angle, like if you're a Red Sox fan, you really want to bet on Mookie Betts, go to town. But I think it's going to be a shot in the dark. That's the way I would look at it.
I'm taking a shot in the dark. Give me Max Scherzer, 40-1 odds to be the MVP of the National League this year.
Could be. He'd have to go
9-1 with a 2.0 ERA.
Pretty much. You'd have to have
eight to ten
elite starts.
For 40-1 odds, give me that. I'm actually high on Alonso this year. So he agreed to be mic'd up for every game throughout the whole entire season. And I just feel like what's happening with the Mets, they're getting better. They're going to probably get new ownership at some point. I think he's a guy that I'm going to buy stock in. So I'm going Alonso. I'm going to put some action on him. What was his odds here? I'm just looking for it.
What, to be the home run leader? Or to be the MVP?
MVP, 25-1.
Yeah.
Odds to be the Cy Young Award winner in the American League. Now, these are tough, right? I mean, I don't even know why we should bet on the. And I guess we probably have agreed on it. There might not be a lot of value here.
So all my preseason bets got canceled. I had some real good value pitching-wise. The value is fucking shot. You know what I mean? It's out. I really like Glasnow early on. I think Glasnow is going to be too net crushed. I wouldn't touch Gerrit Cole with a 50 fucking foot pole. I wouldn't go anywhere near him in terms of that. Frankie Montas, your guy from Oakland, I think has a chance to be really good this year. You know, I would look at him. You know, I just there's not a whole hell of a lot I like value wise left on the board there. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm going to tell you to stay away in the AL pitching wise. In my opinion.
How about the NL? I'm going Max Scherzer. I know it's square 8-1, but DeGrom's 4-1, and your boy Walker Buehler could be interesting too.
So I'd look at. In the NL, I think that you do have to take some shots. I think Jack Flaherty at 9-1 is a shot you have to take. I think he's elite, the elite of the elite. I think you have to consider a Mike Soroka, Mike Soroka ticket as well. If he leads the Braves to the playoffs and has an outstanding year, and if you could find a Trevor Bauer ticket as well. At 20-25-1, I really like Bauer's chances in the NL. I think he should have a pretty decent year. I'd look at those three guys maybe for a ticket. My favorite though, I'd go Flaherty and Bauer as my two favorites there.
Okay, and then so we got the National League. And then Rookie of the Year, dude, I don't know. It's too hard for me.
So NL-wise, Gavin Lux is not starting.
Yeah, for the National League. Dodgers. Yeah, they sent them down.
Yeah, so he's not starting there. So I'm going to give my guy Joey Isaacs a shout-out here. He's, you know, very, very sharp. I will say this. I think that if you're looking at the National League, I happen to like Mitch Keller at 9-1 quite a bit. He thinks it's a terrible bet. He thinks I'm better off going with Dustin May or Kyle Wright, you know, at a better number. I know that there's some, you know, some Spencer Howard out there who, you know, Bryce Harper is pleading with his team to put on the roster at, you know, 50-1 or 56-1, whatever. So you can probably find some good value there. With the pitchers, I think you're going to have to look pitching for NL Rookie of the Year. In my opinion, it's not going to be hitters. I go with Keller. And you know, I'll give my guy Isaac a shout out. Look at Spencer Howard as well, too. AL, I got no fucking idea. I got no effing idea, what to expect in the AL, like straight up none. I think it's possible that the Tigers bring up Matt Manning, but if he doesn't get enough pitching, and you know, it's going to be bad. I think you're going to be looking at a square AL Rookie of the Year. Lizardo, your boy from Oakland, I think has a legitimate chance. I don't know if Luis Robert is starting with the White Sox, but if he is, you got to give him a look there. I just don't know how many rookies we're really, really going to see this year. And, of course, Joe Adell from the Angels. So,
all right, it's a good rundown, Dan, because, again, I'm not really – a lot of these teams and who's opted out and whatnot, I'm not too keen, especially on the rookies this year. So there's some good stuff here. A couple of things. Gleyber Torres, first half his games against Baltimore, who he murders. So that's something to keep in mind. Do you guys use FanDuel at all? I don't.
No, because we're sponsored by DraftKings. we do not.
Lakers-Clippers opening night. Unders 3-0 between them so far. Thoughts, Dan?
Patrick Beverley is going to be out of the lineup. No,
that's official. He will be.
It appears to be the case. He's left the bubble. He would have to be back, I believe, by 6 days out. So he'd have to be back by tomorrow, I think.
217. I feel like that's low. Like forget about COVID or any of that. 217 seems low, but these are half court teams. I don't know.
Well, Beverley is out. Avery Bradley is out. You're implementing some new faces in there.
J.R. Smith. We don't know about Montrezl Harrell. He could be out.
It sounds like Montrezl Harrell is going to be out as well. I would lean over. I think we'll discuss that on the NBA podcast next week. But yeah, I would lean right now, knowing what I know right now, over.
All right, and I just wanted to bring up, someone asked earlier about the home run leader, who will hit the most home runs this year. I don't have the current odds, but they've changed a little bit.
We have, I'll give you the top few. Joey Gallo plus 800, Mike Trout plus 900, Alonso plus 900, Yordan Alvarez plus 900, Judge 10-1. Bellinger 15-1, Stanton 15-1, Harper 17-1, Yelich 17-1, Eugenio Suarez 17-1, Franmil Reyes 17-1, Matt Olson, Nelson Cruz, and Miguel Sano all 17-1.
Okay, Nelson Cruz, I had plus 8,000 at one point. What's he at now?
He's at 17-1.
Oh my God, give me Nelson Cruz.
Okay.
The guy just mashes homers.
He does. He should have a good.
What else does he do? He can't run. He can't play the field. He's going to mash if he cares.
I agree.
Miguel Sano maybe is another guy.
I think you're probably stretching with Sano.
No, I mean, what I'm saying though is like they're long shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rice Hopkins could be injured. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just the home run down. We're going over 19.5, and that's all I care about. I might go large on that, Dan.
Okay.
I might go large. It might be my biggest bet of the year.
What? Sano? It's a
home run leader? No, over 19.5 home runs in the Major League Baseball player.
I mean,
I might go like, you know, max unit.
I think hitters dominate early and then fade off. So I think
somebody hit 20 damn home runs this year in 60 games.
I'm going over. Do they bring the juice balls back? If they bring the juice balls, man, it's going to be good.
So. All right. All right, that's it. Right. I saved our picks. I'll email them to you. And then we're going to be on with Toucher and Rich tomorrow. So we'll be on with Rich, Wallach. Dan will be there. I'll be there as well. We'll be there 7 a.m. tomorrow. We'll do a Major League Baseball recap and then WNBA this weekend, Dan. And we got to start looking at a degenerate pick for tomorrow.
I will find a soccer pick, or maybe we'll actually have some real sports to bet on tomorrow. So
awesome. Yeah. This is the Over Under 985 podcast. I am going to post this as well, Dan. So you're going to post it to 985 the Sports Hub. I'm going to post it as well. It's on YouTube. Just search Over Under 985 podcast. And I'll send the links out and we'll do all that fun stuff. So this has been fun tonight. Everyone chatted in. I like the live chat, Dan, because it gives us more to talk about. But I just want people to know that the reason why we do a podcast is because we want you to listen to the podcast to get the results that we offer. And we used to be like a crystal ball, man, right? We tell you, yep, take this, PP, here's our PPs, and you know, so the thing is, when we talk every game, you get insight from it. So we might give, in that long story short, when football season comes, we have great insight. And we could try to narrow in on certain games, but sometimes we don't listen to ourselves. And you guys reap all the benefits. All right. He's Dan Lifshatz. Follow him. I got a banner for you, Dan, so I'll pull it up. He's at Dan Lifshatz, 98.5 The Sports Hub, at Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray, 985 The Sports Hub, at Joey Murr. We are Over Under 985 Podcast, at Over Under 985. We did 90 minutes today. That's it. We'll be up 7 a.m. Thursday morning on 985 The Sports Hub, and then Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Baseball season starts tomorrow. WNBA starts Saturday. Big UFC fight on Saturday night as well. He is Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We are the Bankroll Boys. It's the Over Under 985 Podcast.
Who you got, boys? Boom. We're back.
All right. I have ended the podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.